Annie, bonjour, comment est-ce? Sogole, Annie, Wattier, and greetings to all of our listeners of Smoke Signals, First Nations Radio here at CHRW 94.7 FM, radio with relevance just west of the dial. My name is Dan Smoke, Asanyanis of the Seneca Nation, and I'm in the studio this afternoon with Mary Lou Smoke, Anishinaabe Nation co-host, and our volunteer Jessica Smith from CHRW, our volunteer of long standing for 6 years.
Bonjour. Seiko.
Yeah, it's just kind of like old times here when the three of us used to, I think it was for about 3 years, the three of us would be in here every Saturday. And so this is kind of like a reunion of sorts, as well as a kind of a farewell, because Jessica's going to be moving on. She's going to be getting married, and she's going to be finding residence elsewhere. So we just want to acknowledge, you know, with gratitude, our gratitude for all the years of service that she has unconditionally provided for us. I mean, she has been there for us when we couldn't be here, and when we needed somebody to come in and tech the show, and even to guest host the show solo on a couple of occasions. So we're very grateful that Jessica has been able to help us, and that that we met through one of my ceremonial leaders, spiritual leaders, Joe Couture. In fact, I was just talking with Joe Couture on the telephone just prior to coming on to the show this afternoon. Joe is a Cree medicine man. He is also a clinical psychologist. And I believe it was 6 years ago, he was conducting a pipe ceremony at the Unitarian Fellowship when it was located on Victoria Ave right near Gibbons Park. And Jessica, you came to that ceremony, and that's where we met. You expressed your desire to help out on our radio program, and that was the making of history. We've watched you enter university, and then you're graduating, you know. And you have your BA. Wow.
And I'm getting my second teaching certificate. I'm getting my teaching certificate.
And Jessica's getting her a teaching
certificate. I want English as a second language.
Oh, yeah, an Ontario teaching certificate, an OTC. I hear friends talk about how important an OTC is to have, because it's something that you can always fall back on to for employment, you know. You need to have that before you can go and teach. You know, teach English as a second language. So congratulations, Jessica, on all your hard work, and I'm glad to see someone, you know, use their talents and gifts that the Creator blessed them with in a good way to help our brothers and sisters. You've certainly done that for us. The show today, we were going to talk a little bit about the March Against Racism with Chief Larry Johnson and the Caldwell First Nations, which was just completed on April the 21st, 2 weeks ago, which Mary Lou and I had the pleasure of attending. We attended the end of it, the final leg, where there was a drum group from the Stony Point First Nations, the Stony Pointers, who are living in what they call Ojodana. Ojodana is our home in the Ojibwe language, the traditional territory of the Stony Point First Nations, who have been displaced by the federal government and by the Kettle Point First Nations. And so the Stony Point people are still living there, the true Stony Pointers, the people who always lived in that territory. There's a number of them still living on what used to be called Camp Ipperwash. And they have formed a drum group, and they are going around to powwows, and they're learning songs and being given songs, and they perform songs, they sing. And so they came to support the Caldwell marchers. And there was about 100 people as the marchers were completing the final leg of their March Against Racism, which began on the 17th, and they were walking through Blenheim, the town of Blenheim, because the band office is just east of Blenheim, And they were, the drum group was put on the back of a pickup truck. They drummed and they sang that whole final leg of the walk against racism. They led the walkers on that final walk. And when the walk was completed, when it ended at the Caldwell Band office, there was a huge barbecue. There was a drum social with the Stony Point drum. And Chief Larry Johnson joined in. Chief Larry Johnson, many people don't know, is a traditional singer. He was a lead singer for the American Indian Movement drum in Toronto over 20 years ago. When Mary Lou and I were living in Toronto, there was an AIM chapter in Toronto, and they had their own drum where they drummed and they sang and they did opening ceremonies at different gatherings of First Nations people. And Larry Johnson was their lead singer. So it was really good to see Larry singing again. It was really, I'm sure that he felt re-energized to be able to sing with these young men and to sing some old songs. Some of the old songs we don't hear anymore because I guess that's because our generation hasn't passed them on to the younger generation. And so the younger generation don't know the songs. So we have to, I guess that just tells us, it reinforces the fact that we are an oral people and we have an oral tradition, and we should be passing these songs on to the future generations, to the younger people. So Larry, I know he did say that he was very glad to be able to share with them these old songs. So we got to talk with some of their walkers. Butch Young was one man who I was quite impressed with. Butch Young is an African Canadian who lives in Shrewsbury, which is next to Blenheim. And Shrewsbury has a number of African Canadian people living there who have formed a community within Shrewsbury, and they are very supportive of the Caldwell First Nations and their attempts to create a land base. And Butch was telling me when I interviewed him that he knows all about racism because he marched during the racial riots and the racial strife in Detroit back in the 60s. And he remembers signs going up around different suburbs of Detroit that were not very welcoming to black people. And so when he saw all the signs going up around the Caldwell territory in regards to the neighbors of the Caldwells not wanting to sell their land, he saw that as a very racist statement. Because what he said that it really says is as the not for sale signs are really saying not for sale to Indians. And he says that's very racist. So that's why he was in the march. And he's 54 years old, and he marched every day, 22 kilometers per day, 100 kilometers in total from Windsor to the band office, the Caldwell band office, just east of Blenheim. So that's why he went, and he was saying throughout the walk that he would receive inspiration from the young people. There are a number of young people who were walking with the walkers. Young people aged Daniel Pohl. Daniel Miranda was what? He's about 12?
Yeah, he's 12.
And Dan kept saying to Butch, it ain't so bad. It ain't so bad. And that was inspiration to Butch. Butch said whenever he heard that, he just kept thinking of that Rocky movie where someone would say to Sylvester Stallone, I guess I'm not sure if it was his son, or maybe it was Rocky himself who said, it ain't so bad. Meanwhile, he's getting his head pounded in. But, you know, like if you think about it, it's only the surface. If they don't touch your spirit, if they don't damage your spirit or violate your spirit, then it won't be so bad. It's just the physical surface that is being harmed, and you can heal from that. Anyways, So we were really glad to, we'll probably feature interviews with the chief and with some of the walkers, including Butch Young, including Daniel Miranda, the young 12-year-old, his mother, Ann Pohl, and the organizer, the wife of the chief, Teresa Johnson. So that will be coming up at some point in the next couple of weeks. One other thing that we went to this past weekend was we went to the National Assembly of the Aboriginal Rights Coalition. Now, the Aboriginal Rights Coalition is a national assembly of faith groups. Now, the faith groups are the Roman Catholics, the Anglicans, United Church, Jewish, Baha'is, you know, all different faith groups who are interested in supporting Native issues and making sure that racism is not something that the Canadian public will tolerate. They want to see racism erased, eradicated, period. And so that's why they're supportive of Native issues, because the United Nations Human Rights Commission has released a report damning the federal government, Canada, for its treatment of First Nations. Now, the reason they do that is because according to the Human Rights Index, Canada is rated number one in the world. And according to that same United Nations Human Rights Index, First Nations communities in Canada got a rating of 63. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if you got a rating of 63 and the rest of the country also was 63 and that there was poverty everywhere. Then, I mean, you can accept that. That would be okay. That would be acceptable, and you would work towards improving the quality of life, and you would work at trying to, raise your level of human rights. But this is the number one country. This 63 in a country that is rated number one, there's something that's not reconciling here. And so this National Assembly at the Aboriginal Rights Coalition was an assembly to bring in speakers from across Canada. From the East Coast, they brought in Mi'kmaq people from Burnt Church, New Brunswick, Karen Somerville, she was a speaker, and she spoke about the racism that exists out on the Burnt Church community, which was a scene of major violence and destruction of fishing traps and fishing boats last September. And another speaker was Tommy Munoz and his chief, Chief John Muswagon, from the Cross Lake, Manitoba First Nations, and how their land was flooded by Manitoba Hydro, and the federal government and the provincial government have resisted the terms and the conditions of the Manitoba flood. I'm not exactly sure. Do you remember what that was all? That was kind of a complicated situation, because there was some suggestion that there were five communities that were flooded and that reported major damage. And those five communities, of those five communities, four First Nations communities, I should qualify that. There were five First Nations communities, five reserves that suffered flood damage. Now, an agreement was signed, similar to the James Bay Agreement in northern Quebec, with these five reserves. And of these five reserves, four of them opted out of the agreement, the Manitoba flood agreement, and they opted out and they received compensation from the federal government, the provincial government, and Manitoba Hydro, millions and millions of dollars. But the Cross Lake people have not opted out of that agreement, because they are saying that the provincial government, the federal government, and Manitoba Hydro have to live up to the spirits of the agreement. Similar to what's happening in James Bay, the Quebec government and the federal government have to live up to that, to the terms of that agreement. Otherwise, it's the passing on of a tradition of breaking treaties that has taken place over the past 500 years. And so the Cross Lake community, the Cross Lake First Nations, is making sure that the federal government, provincial government, and Manitoba Hydro stick to the agreement and provide services to the Cross Lake community. And so now there's internal dissension with the other four communities, because they realize that they could have received more services for their communities had they done what Cross Lake is doing. And so there's kind of a conflict there. And we saw a little bit of that over the weekend. The other speaker was Art Manuel. Art Manuel, who is the son of Chief of George Manuel. George Manuel was the founder of the World Indigenous Council. He was president of the National Indian Brotherhood during the 70s. Mary Lou and I, we met him in Toronto at a, I guess it was a fundraiser for the Native Canadian Friendship Center of Toronto, as they were about to purchase their new building, which they're currently in today. Well, George Manuel was the keynote speaker. And I remember him being a very dynamic, very, very good, very eloquent speaker, and a very good example of leadership of First Nations people. Anyways, his son, Art, is walking in his footsteps, eh? What a great speaker. What a great speaker Art is, too. And Art is chief of the Nisqually First Nations, which is in the interior of British Columbia, a Shuswap community. He is Shuswap. And he is also chairman of the Interior Alliance, which is forestry. They're trying to work out forestry agreements in British Columbia. And he is head of that. And he's also the co-chair of the Assembly of First Nations Delgamuuk, which is the Supreme Court decision that recognizes Aboriginal title. Delgamuuk, he is the Delgamuuk Implementation Coordinator. So he wears many hats, and we're going to listen to what he has to say, what Karen Somerville has to say later on in the show today. Okay, so let's listen to some music. How about Donnabush? Donnabush is a group from Six Nations. Six Nations is commonly known as the Bush. Jessica knows that because her father was a Baptist minister in Oswegan, which is the main town on the Six Nations Reserve, many years ago, like in the 80s?
1970s.
In the 70s, okay, when you were just small. Yeah. And Donnabush is the title of the CD. And this is, I think, by Farron John, who's going to be performing down at the other side, corner of York and Talbot. If you were my lady, here on Smoke Signals.